Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
And you are listening to Fiber Talk, that twice-weekly podcast for people who play with needles and stitch their brains out. How's that for enthusiasm?
That's perfect.
Thank you very much. Our guest this
sounds great.
Our guest this week, Karen Kluba of the Rosewood Manor Design Operation.
Yes.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
We're just fine, I think. Yeah, getting along okay.
Good.
I first ran into you at my local needlework shop, mine. Welcome Stitchery in Crystal Lake. It's mine. Donna, who works there, the first time she stitched and had, they're hanging on the wall, the seasonal Quakers, spring, summer, winter.
Yes.
And I'd never seen anything like that. And,
oh, thank you.
And I still am impressed. Those are on my horizon to stitch at least one of those. But, and Donna's an incredibly talented stitcher, and they're just, you know, they're just gorgeous, and those designs are gorgeous. So that's where I first ran into you, and then I asked about, you know, what is this operation? Then I got to see others, and boy, I have to say, I really enjoy your designs and the Quaker.
Thank you.
Yeah, Quaker samplers, but yeah, that was my first exposure. So, yep, good stuff.
Thank you.
First thing out of the gate, in the mid 70s, Better Homes and Gardens Craft Creations. Do tell how this works.
Well, it doesn't work anymore, but at the time, it was kind of a home party plan, similar to Tupperware, only instead of buying plastic bins, we went in and taught people how to do needlework. There were a few other little crafty things, which I don't even remember exactly what it was, but most of it was needlework. And quite honestly, when I joined the group, I didn't even know how to do counted cross stitch. I had done a lot of stamped cross stitch, and then particularly on quilt blocks, and I don't know. I had a mother and a grandmother and all these people who put all these things together for me, but I did the needlework. And really, as I was growing up, I learned how to do embroidery work, but no counted cross stitch. So I learned how to do it when I went with Better Homes and Gardens. And actually, I didn't even do all the stitches in the same direction when I first started. It was really bad. But
I don't know that I do either. I try.
Well, I'm a lot better at it now, I'd like to think. But at the time, I kept telling people, oh, it doesn't really matter. Well, it does. But anyway.
So you would go around to people's homes and have these Tupperware parties for stitching.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. And I had a huge, big duffel bag type thing full of all these different kits. And I had to make up as many models as I could to be able to show people the finished product.
Oh.
And then hopefully then they would buy the kits, because everything was pretty much kits. There were no, even for counted cross stitch, there was no charts. It was all kits. I mean, you know. So anyway, so we sold the kits. And anyway, I at some point I decided I wanted to go into the management part of it. So I had about 20 other, we called them craft counselors,
wow,
that were going out
Holy
and having
smokes.
These parties.
Is that right on the name badge, craft counselor?
Yes.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Had a little butterfly logo pin, which I still have that pin, actually.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know if it's a collector's piece, but it was fun anyway.
So you had these counselors, and then you were the manager and helped them get started and keep going.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And much like Tupperware parties or any of those home selling parties, basically what you did is one person was the hostess and she invited all of her friends in, and then you tried to schedule from there, and she got extra points to buy extra kits if she had so many people book another party, so it kind of builds on itself and hopefully snowballs for you. So
did you earn a pink Cadillac? Isn't that what somebody
that's Avon.
Mary Kay,
I think, does that one. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely right.
No, I mostly earned more ways to earn more craft kits more than anything, to be honest. But it got me going on counted cross stitch, so that's all right.
Well, that was in the day when, I mean, there were cross stitch stores everywhere, and I mean, that was kind of a crazy time anyway for cross stitching.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a whole different world than it is now.
I wonder if you could pull that off today. I don't know.
Why not? I kind of like the idea.
Do you?
Yeah,
I don't know, but there's so much online stuff. People can get it so easily now that I'm not sure. Well, but I don't know. I mean, you have stitching retreats and all these kinds of things. People do like to get together. So, maybe.
I think there's something to be said for, because we were just talking about the fact that, you know, you can go online and there's 40 million different threads, but there's nothing that replaces the ability to look at a thread and feel it, right? I was just kind of specking out a new little project I had in mind today, and I was looking at a thread that someone else had used that would be impossible for me to get. So, and I'm thinking, how can I achieve the same look? And there's no trying to figure out how I can achieve the look of a thread I've never seen by using other threads I've never seen is very difficult.
It is.
Right?
That is. So
I think having, you know, having that tactile thing, there's really no substitute for that.
Right. Yeah, but I can't imagine dragging it all over the country. You know, it's like compared to going and walking into a brick and mortar shop where you know, hopefully they have a wide selection of things, but I mean, because mine was in a duffel bag. It was probably 5 foot long and 3 foot high. It was big, but you got to put all your stuff in there. It's just kind of, you know, I can't imagine carrying around a bunch of stuff like that anymore. Yeah. But, you know, at the time it worked.
So your management level at Better Homes and Gardens, so your stitching career is in full cry. What's next? You open a shop then, it says here?
No. Well, no, not for a while, really, because I started doing local craft fairs once I learned how to do counted cross stitch. And really, at that point, Better Homes and Gardens, that division of Better Homes and Gardens was going by the wayside. And you know, I was having fun, but it wasn't working out monetarily, I don't think, for them or me. So, anyway,
I was afraid to ask if you actually made any money at that.
Not a lot. No, okay. No, it's the typical thing where you spend it all, but anyway, but no, I started going to craft fairs, local craft fairs, anywhere from churches to parks to, you know, big pavilions and that kind of thing, and selling finished counted cross stitch pieces. So, yeah. So I did little small designs, which I know nobody believes I ever designed small anymore, but I did at that point in time. And I did some really small pieces because they needed to be fast to stitch. So I stitched a lot of them. And again, I wound up hiring other ladies to stitch for me. And I had probably, again, about 20 people who I would give them a small little chart Which at the time I would have my husband Xerox at work because, you know, this was before computers and all these and printers that you have in your home now and everything. So I had him copy them at work, and then I would send them out to the stitchers and with a packet of thread and fabric and say, here, I need, you know, I need five of these from you and, you know, three of these and whatever. So, and then I would do the finishing work, which I can't believe now because I really don't like to do the finishing work now, but I did it then because that was what you had to do.
And you paid these people to stitch these up?
Yes, I did. I paid these gals. In fact, last year at Needlework Galleria in St. Charles, one of the ladies that I had stitched for me all these years ago walked in and said, hi, I'm Barb. And I went, where do I know you? And it was her. She had stitched for me for a good long time. And, you know, I think really it was, we were all around in the same age group that we had children at home. It was a good way to earn a few dollars to say that we were contributing and, you know, had a little bit of money in our pocket and we could still be with our children. So I think it was a win-win for everybody, myself included, that I could do this.
To say you were contributing as if raising kids wasn't enough. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're right. Thank you. I'm glad somebody recognizes that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did that for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And then there was a lady came around and she had bought this 100-year-old house and she was renting out a space. So each room in that house was rented out to a different craft person.
Oh.
Through Better Homes and Gardens, I had met a gal that I got along really well with. She did smocking, I did cross stitch, and she and I opened up a little shop in this 100-year-old house. This gal did beautiful dresses and christening gowns, and she's not only smocked everything, but she was a good seamstress, so she did all of that. And I sold my cross stitch pieces. So we still did a few craft fairs, but mostly we were in this 100-year-old house. So that was really fun to do.
Those craft fairs have to get old in a hurry, huh?
Well, yeah. Yeah, they're a lot of work. I mean, they are. They do. But there was one. My biggest thrill out of that whole thing was that there was a guy approached me, and at the time he worked for, I think it was Penny's, and he J.C. Penny's, and he came up and he said, "So if I ordered $10,000 worth of your product, and or 10,000 pieces of your product, what would you do?" And I said, "I'd probably just panic. I mean, I had 20 people stitching for me, but I would need 200 or more." It was just, I said, "I thank you. I'm honored, but I can't do this. There's just no way. I mean, I couldn't handle that kind of." But it gave me a little more confidence that I really could do what I wanted to do with life. So, so all of that helps. But.
Wow, that must have been a moment of, can I? Should I?
Wow. It was. I went home and had a long talk with my husband and said, you know, what do you think? And when we started crunching the numbers, there was just no way. I could also see that this guy was going to go, and I need it in 30 days time. Like, no, it's not happening. It's just like, no. So, no, couldn't do that.
Yeah. Boy, that house full of crafts, that sounds like fun. Sounds like a dangerous thing with a credit card, but it sounds like fun.
Right. It was. It was. It was a lot of fun. I met a lot of amazing people, and like I said, everybody had a different craft. We had a gal who did toll painting. We had one that made, she made, oh, it sounds weird, but she made dolls out of like a pantyhose type material. It was kind of like when the, oh, not Beanie Babies, but the other ones, the, what were those dolls?
Like Cabbage Patch dolls?
Yeah, that's it. The Cabbage Patch dolls. She did something that was kind of in that vein, only not a Cabbage Patch doll. And anyway, so there was that. There was a lady who did quilling.
Wow.
I used to do quilling
when I was like 9 years old.
Oh, really? Oh,
I haven't heard anybody mention that since then.
Well, she did it for a long time. She did beautiful wedding. She would quill around wedding invitations. So that was her big thing, was the wedding invitations. And she did a little bit of calligraphy and then quilled around that. But anyway, so everybody had their thing they did. So it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. Plus in the quiet times, you have like-minded people to talk with. So, yeah.
Exactly.
So how does the designing start?
Well, really, kind of as I was doing the craft fairs, but I just, at that point, I was just doing, like I say, little bitty things. There was a company called Kronar, and they did silk screening on sweatshirts, and they needed someone that, and it looked like cross stitch, but it wasn't. So it was at the beginning of those kind of puff paint things. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. And so there was
taking me all back to like 1980s. I know.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, Karen, we're old enough to remember. Yes.
Good.
Oh, man, I remember that was a craze. Oh.
Yeah. There was an ad in the paper for a designer to do that. And I thought, well, I can probably do that. So I didn't have a computer with a program yet to do design needlework. So, or cross stitch. So I did it literally on paper, and talk about cutting and pasting. That's exactly what I literally did. it was really crazy. But the good part for the sweatshirts was that where normally you're on a square grid and it's hard to kind of move things around, unless now if you use waste canvas or wash away grid, you could do that. But I could, they could literally take my charts and move them around however they needed to fit on these shirts. So that was kind of fun to be able to manipulate those things that way. So I did that. And then my husband, in the middle of all this and me getting settled into designing these sweatshirts with these people, he lost his job, and we wound up going over to the UK. He works for consulting for pharmaceutical companies, and we went over to the UK. And while I was there, there was a group called the American Women's Club, because all of us had to figure out how to live in the UK. because it was different than, sugar's not sugar. It doesn't work the same, and all these wonderful things. So anyway, we had an American Women's Club, and they had a craft fair, and it was for charity, and they did it every year. And I of course said, well, I will help out with the cross stitch group. So when I got into the group, they had been selling these little designs about the UK. It would have the Tudor rose on it, and one of the the guards, all kinds of stuff. And I thought, I can do better than this. So at that point, I had a computer, and I had slowly taught myself how to use a design program. But that design program at the time, I have to say, it was not in color. It was only black and white and only symbols. So I had to think what symbol was going to be what color. And I mean, it was crazy, but I think
that sounds really hard.
It was, but it was good for my brain. I think it worked out really well. But anyway, so I designed some pieces for this craft fair for this group, and actually, they still sell them today. They've earned a lot of money because all the money goes to charity from this craft fair that they do. But once they saw them, they even started doing kits. So they would sell them a few as finished designs, and then they would sell them as kits also. But like I said, all of the money still goes to charity. So that made me feel like, well, maybe I can design. So, and then while I was there in the UK, there was a contest I saw in one of the magazines that I was collecting while I was there. And DMC was having a design contest for the four countries of the UK. And I actually entered the contest. I didn't win because I found out that I had messed up. I was not politically correct on one of the motifs on my sampler.
What did you do?
Well, you know, I was trying to think about this, and I don't exactly know. There was something on there that when they invited us all up to the DMC headquarters in the UK, and the lady took me aside and she said, I just want you to know that you probably would have been in the top three, except for the fact that of this one motif. And I honestly don't even remember what it was. I was going to look on my website because I still sell the design. It's called the Great British Sampler. And I was going to look on there and try to remember what it was. But there was some little small thing that she noticed that I didn't win, but anyway.
Well, that's the thing. So a little thing is with those symbols is not a little thing, right?
Yeah.
If you pick the wrong symbol for Scotland, that's not good.
right. Well, I had the basics right, and that's what she told me. She said, I wish I could remember what it was, but there was some little thing that just, she said, no, I can't do this. I said, I can change it. And they bought the first one that the, whoever won first place, they bought that one, and they really didn't buy the other three. But the lady said, she said, you know, I really think that you should keep designing. But at that point, we were coming back to the States by then. So I said, well, I'm kind of done. I'll figure out something whenever I get back to the States. So, but then that's when I got back, I had decided, well, I've done all these things. Surely I can actually be a designer. And cross stitch was still pretty good by then, because that was that would have been 95, I guess, right around in there, 94, 95. Is that right? Yeah, somewhere right around there. And cross stitch was still good enough by then to you know, have a life in the cross stitch world. But what I did was I wrote to several kit companies because I had no idea how to get anything printed and out to distributors and shops, and I just didn't know at all where to start with this. So I did a few. By then, I had a different program that would actually print out things in color, so that helped. So I printed out some of my designs just on paper, sent them in letters to all of the kit companies, like Dimensions, Laser Art Scanlin. I even tried the Stitchery catalog and sent them, you know, I had like, I think it was like five designs, and said, you know, what do you think of these? Do you take freelance designers? You know, what do I need to do? And the lady at the Stitchery catalog received my letter with my five designs in it and called me that day, which happened to be, and I'm going to tell my age here, but happened to be my 50th birthday. And I was simply over the moon that she called and she said she liked my designs. And she said, I will take them all. How fast can you get them to me? And I kind of went, what are you talking about? And so in talking, having a conversation with her, at the time, she liked Jan Lynn and had a really good working relationship with them. And unfortunately, they've gone by the wayside now, too. But she said, well, I will send these to Jan Lynn and overnight them because I'm that excited. I said, okay.
Wow, you really hit the hot button there.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, I to say I was floating on air is, I mean, I was way up there. It was amazing. And they called me the next day and said, because she had actually overnighted them, and they got there and they called me and they said, we want all of your designs, and do you have any of them stitched? And I said, well, I've got one of them partially done, which really meant I just started it. And then they said, well, how fast can you get it to us? And they said, well, we need it in 2 weeks' time. Oh, my gosh. And I was going on a vacation over to Ireland, and I'm thinking, I'm going on a vacation. I don't have time to stitch. But I said, oh, sure, I'll be happy to get it to you by then. So I stitched the entire time I was on my vacation in Ireland with friends. But
oh, you're a lot of fun.
It was crazy. But I got it to them, and then the rest of them, they had stitchers that stitched them, and I didn't have to go crazy and do that. But anyway, I sold all of those pieces and collected royalties then. And they were sold in Michael's, Joann's, even Walmart at that point was carrying some kits, some cross-stitch kits, and they were even in there. So all of the AC Moore, all those guys had my kits from Jan Lynn, and for those years, that was nice because I could keep on playing around and collect some royalties. So
you were getting royalties on every one that was sold?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah. It was nice. I mean, it doesn't pay millions by any means, don't get me wrong, but it helped, you know, to be able to collect some money to know that your stuff is actually worth something and somebody wants it. So right. that was kind of fun. So, but, And then I found out that there was a, through some shop owners, that there was a wholesale show, needlework organization out in, at the time, South Carolina, and they had huge needlework shows for wholesalers and shops. And the shop owners encouraged me to attend this show and take my portfolio of like I said, printed off pieces because I, or just printed off designs. And to meet some of the wholesale distributors. And then I found out that there was this seminar, and it was called Sew, S-E-W, You Want to Be a Designer. And what they had, it was pretty neat.
There's a meeting.
Because of course it is.
Yeah. they had a dais of people from designers to shop owners, to people who did the printing at the time, to distributors of all different varieties, because they all worked a little bit different. And you went into this room and they gave a little speech and you got to ask questions. And oh my gosh, it was just amazing the amount of things that I learned in the contacts that I made by going to that show. And these shop owners made sure that I met all the right people and got to show them my portfolio and talk to them. And it was amazing. So they all encouraged me and said that they liked my portfolio and that I should continue on. And then with the reason that you know you've made it is when they start coming to you and offering you fabric and threads and want you to use their product to design. And I went home with a few things, so I thought, I think I can do this. It was nice.
Yeah.
So I liked it.
Yeah, that's good for the ego, but also, certainly validation. Yes, you have skill and talent, and people want it. Right. That's great. Wow.
Yeah, and you need that. You need encouragement, because it's a big, huge world out there, and you need somebody to say, yes, your stuff is good, and I think it'll sell. So, yeah.
Right, and I think that's the important part, is that there's two different things that are important there. It's, are you designing things that are artistically sound and that you like? And mm-hmm. are you designing things that can sell? Because those two things are not always the same thing.
That's very true. That is very true.
And sometimes the designing something that can sell is more important, because otherwise, you're not driving an industry. So, I wonder if sometimes people have to compromise what they would like to do, their vision, in order to make a saleable product.
Well, yes, but at the same time, if it doesn't, well, I think anyway, if it doesn't make you happy, you're probably not going to continue to do that. Hopefully you can learn to, adapt, but also still have fun with it. Because if you can't have fun, why bother? I mean, mm-hmm. you can go out and work at the grocery store for whatever. If you just want money, there's find lots of ways to make money. It's about having fun with it and being able to. I know for me, it's express myself with whatever is happening in my life at that point in time. Things will adapt, and I realize all of a sudden that I've got influences around me that are making me use a certain color, or I do it a certain design or whatever. So but it all needs to be fun in the end.
Every chart I've seen comes with a little box of these Valdani threads. How does that fit into the picture? Or at least the ones I've seen, you get a box of these threads. Is that just because they just have the colors you like, or what?
Not all of my designs are with Valdani threads. Okay. So I only have really seven collections of Valdani threads. I went to one of the big wholesale shows in Ohio at the time, and they were right down the You know, there's big rows, of course, at the convention center right down the road from me. And I kept walking past this beautiful display of these little balls of thread. And I kept thinking, I really have to do something with these. They are just so, I mean, they were just calling my name. I couldn't resist them. And Dana from Valdani came into my booth and was talking to me, and she said, you know, Valdani's big in the quilting world. So they sell a lot in the quilting world. But at that point in time, they weren't doing very much with cross stitch. And she said, I'm looking for designers to use my threads. And those little boxes will hold 12 balls of thread. And right next to me at this show was Marilyn from Picture This Plus. You know, they do the overdyed fabrics. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to her, and she and I had been friends for a long time. And I was talking to her, and I said, well, I'm thinking about using these threads. And she said, well, I think they're great. She said, but if you can design with just those 12 colors in that little box, you could sell those. That would be really neat. And I agree. So she and I took some pieces of her fabric and picked out my own color collection to go with that fabric. So I had the fabric and I had the threads, but I didn't know what I was going to do with them. And she said, well, I really think that this could be an autumn. And she said, if you think about it, you could do a spring, you can do all these. And I went, oh my gosh. And my head was just buzzing with ideas. And so I started with the first one, which I think was the spring one. I don't remember now which one I did first. And then of course everybody said, well, are you going to do all the rest of the seasons? And I said, yes, I have to do that. But I love those little balls of thread. But I don't use them for everything. No. And people have adapted those designs to Weeks Dye Works. But the thing that is different for the Valdani threads is those little balls are three strands on there, and I used them exactly as they come off the ball. I don't separate them out and put them back together. The only time I separate them is whenever I have to do backstitching. But because you're using all three strands, the colors pop even more. Mm. So they're fun. They're fun. And I love just creating those little collections.
Yeah, every time I see those boxes, I just want to buy a box of that. I have no use for it, but I want to buy a box of those just to have them. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something about those colors. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was the thing. Dana gave me from Valdani gave me some samples that first day whenever I was there. And I just sit around and I just have them sitting around because they just look pretty. They just look pretty. I can't stitch with them because they just look pretty sitting there.
Isn't that funny how we do that though? Because I know I do the same thing with like quilting fabrics. You buy them and then you don't want to use them because they look too nice.
Yes, I do that too. Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? But then
it is. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And now I have such a huge stash of quilting fabric that I could open my own shop. It's ridiculous. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want to cut it because then, you know, it's going to be uneven and it's terrible.
Yeah.
But yes. Why else are you buying it?
So
that you can use it. And then every project you say, oh, well, this fabric is beautiful and perfect, but it's way too nice for this.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I'm glad to know I'm not the only one.
I'm saving it for something really special.
Yes.
And that really special thing is 10 years on my shelf is really what it comes down to.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm trying to break myself of that habit, but it's not easy.
No. And you know what it ends up happening is the smart people just take a portion of that and just frame the fabric.
Well, I have done that.
I
have done that. And the other thing I've done is, because I didn't want to cut into the fabric, is that I've spread it out on my scanner, scanned it in and printed it, and then framed it so that I didn't have the fabric. I could still use the fabric, but I have the picture of it.
Whoa.
I love that idea.
It works. That's,
and you could use it as your wallpaper on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's pretty
sure.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Whoa.
Any way can use it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you know.
Okay. Wow. This is insight I've not ever had.
More than you wanted to know.
Yeah. No, it's quite fascinating. Quite fascinating. And isn't that the way it is with, like, you design a spring, and when you do a spring, you might as well have it in your mind, I'm going to have to do the other three. Or if you do a day
yes.
thing, you got to do a night.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
There's no
yeah.
out.
Yeah. No. No, absolutely. Absolutely yeah. not. That's why I did the sunrise one, and then of course people said, well, is there going to be a sunset? So, well, there's a sunrise. There's got to be a sunset. Of course there is. So I learned. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that, and those are beautiful. Yeah. We talked about that, in a midweek show, the sun,
we did,
sunset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, when you sent those pictures, that was my wife Marga and I work in a converted bedroom because we work at home because we're magazine editors. And mm-hmm. When I got those pictures, I just sent the email right over to Marga, said, here, check these out. And it's like, oh, yeah. And those are big suckers, too. I was looking to see what size. Those are huge. Yeah.
They fit on a fat quarter of... this is not Picture This Plus. Those ones were hand dyed by Stephanie, but they're all the same size. It's called a fat quarter. So, well, that's why I say I don't design small hardly anymore. That's really hard for me to do. Keep telling people I have a lot to say. That's why. But
that's all right.
Anyway,
I was looking at the size of those things. They're on my list. Both of them. Because I love the colors and the richness, and to have those hanging on the wall side by each, or however Margaret would hang them up, would be really impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. You designers are trouble, because every time we talk to one, I got to have something.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's as bad as so I'm really afraid. I was saying to Gary, so we're going to the Nashville show in just a few mm-hmm. weeks now. Mm-hmm. And I said I'm gonna leave every credit card at home.
Good luck.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And maybe someone will take pity and say, this is wholesale only, you can't purchase anything, because right. otherwise it's gonna be, I mean, it's devastating.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't imagine. See, because for me, I don't really have a local needlework shop. So it's really hard for me to find, you know, things to work with, or unusual things anyway. So.
Well, yeah. And when you see it in person, that just makes all the difference in the world, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, I go to a couple of the retail shows, and I take as much as I can fit into my minivan thing, because I figure if people are coming to a show, they need to see it all.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I do trunk shows for shops, but with the postage cost to ship it there, it's just gets crazy. So you can only do limited stuff, but when I go to those shows, I try to fill a room with it. When you come into my room in Nashville, you'll see, because that's what I usually do. That's the same amount I take that much or more to retail shows. So I try to have it there. But seeing it in person just makes all the difference in the world, as opposed to looking at it on a computer. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I have an advantage at that show, because Monica from Welcome Stitchery will be there. So I'll just I'll just go up to her and just, here, buy these for me.
Yes, exactly.
Here's my list.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, there'll be lots to see. Yeah. You won't be bored.
So I have to ask a dumb guy question here.
Okay.
Your Quaker samplers of all variations just mm-hmm. captivate me every time.
But, thank you.
But what is the origin? You know, I mean, I get the sampler thing, reproduction samplers and regular samplers and band samplers. What is the origin? Do you know the origin? And this is an unfair question because you didn't know it was coming, of Quaker and why it's Quaker, and do those designs all have meaning?
Well, I don't know the answer to all of that, but I'll tell you what I know, is that when the schoolgirls were doing their needlework, because, you know, girls were really taught that more than anything for a good long while, was that they all had to do needlework. And a lot of them had to prove that there were different schools that they went to, and they had to prove that they knew how to do certain stitches and could create these things. And there was somewhere in there, and I'm not very good. I would have probably looked up a little bit more if I'd known you were going to ask me that. But the Quakers, that's all right. The Quakers did these designs, and most of them were, if you look back, whenever I go over to England, I've gone to some of the museums over there. The Victorian Albert has just a huge, huge amount of antique needlework. It's insane over there whenever I get to go. But they would do them all one color. And there's one in particular that I think of that it's done on this. It now looks like it's this tan, goldish tan color with all black floss. Every bit of it is black, but the designs are amazing. I took them and changed them, and I have fun coloring those, I call it, because it depends on what color you put where, what comes out of those Quaker motifs. So a lot of them have been around forever. I mean, I don't know honestly exactly where they came from other than the Quakers originally. And but I take them and color them in so that they different things pop out of those motifs. So yeah, that's kind of the way that I use them. And then, you know, I call mine really just a Quaker look, because some of them are not even true Quakers anymore. I don't think. And I've done some research on those kinds of designs and that kind of stuff. But I change them up enough that they're more my own than they are theirs. And then I colored them in, and they didn't. Yeah. So,
well, that was the other thing I wondered. Do you have a set of these motifs that you mix and match, or are you always modifying?
A little all of the above. I have bought a lot of antique books, and I will, when I need inspiration, I will look through those and try to find something that I want to do. Some days I don't feel like putting it all together, so I will just go through there, find something that I like, and start playing with it, and just save it into a file for later. If I like when I was for Quaker Diamonds, actually, I started looking at motifs that were all diamond shaped, and I was putting them to a file, and I thought, well, I can make a design out of that. Why don't I do that? So I started playing with it, and that's where Quaker Diamonds came into being, was just collecting those motifs. So sometimes that happens. You know, sometimes like the spring Quakers and the, you know, the seasonal ones, that I had a a madness to my method, but some other things, no, I just do it because it just happens. And Quakers and Quilts was kind of that way, where I liked, I'm always fascinated by quilt blocks because they have names. And so I kind of like to tell stories with those. So that one was fun to do because I could use the quilt blocks and the Quakers and kind of put everything together into one design. So I kind of, you know, I like to mix it up a little bit with those, but anyway.
I did not know. I mean, I know nothing about quilts other than they keep you warm in the winter, but so they, all those have names. Oh, okay.
Well, most of the quilt blocks, again, it goes back into, you know, days. I mean, you can even go back into the Underground Railroad days where certain quilt blocks had certain names. And what the slaves would do whenever they were trying to escape was actually put these quilt blocks on the clothesline. And people knew where to go. It would tell you if you knew the names of the quilt blocks, and most of them did. It would tell you, you know, you need to go 5 houses down and they'll take you west or whatever, you know, wherever you were going, north. And anyway, so all those quilt blocks have names. And a long, long time ago, I found a book that had just the basics of a quilt block. And it listed all, some of them have more than one name. So I can look in there and I can see how easily I can adapt them to count across stitch, because some of them really don't lend themselves to doing that, but a lot of them do. So I found them fascinating to be able to look up the names and kind of tell stories with them. And some of my patriotic ones are that way, where I've looked up the names and figured out that I could make that into cross stitch. I could do that block into cross stitch and try to make the squares, the quilt squares, I guess, look like fabric. So that, you know, sometimes you have to look at them twice to know they're really not fabric. It's not a piece of fabric there. It's really cross stitch. So, but I have fun with them.
Gonna have to study that some more. That's
yes.
I learn something every time we do one of these. I learn something. It's great.
That's good.
So what's a day? You know, we're gonna run out of time. Nuts. What's a day like for you? I mean, do you design and stitch most days, or is it just kind of hit and miss, or how do you do?
Yeah, most days I'm in front of my. During the day, I'm in front of my computer and either getting orders out the door or designing or something to do with my business. And then in the evening, I stitch. And I still do have people who stitch for me, but I stitch in the evening because I can't stand to sit in front of the television and not be doing something with my hands. So I'm stitching, or I do English paper piecing in quilting. But since I don't really sell those designs per se, I did with Dreaming of Iris, but I normally do not. I take those on the plane with me whenever I travel or something, the English paper pieces, and do those. But anyway, I'm designing and then stitching. So, yeah.
Do you have a studio or just a corner for stitching?
Well, I used to have a studio when we lived in Indiana. I had the whole basement. I loved it. It was, we designed the house and it was that area was mine. And I, you know, if we had guests, they could don't go down there or not. But, you know, I didn't have to clean it up all the time is what I'm trying to say.
That's a key component. But, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it.
But
then life changed, and we decided that we were going to kind of, I'll call it semi-retire, although I feel like he's more retired than me, but so we sold that place and we bought a condo in Florida, and we rented out during the summertime. We're here during the winter, and then we go up to Michigan, up near Grand Rapids for the summertime because it's so nice up there, and there's grandchildren up there, so that's a good reason to go.
So.
But now I have just a little small area that I've kind of carved out for myself in both of those places. So I don't have my big studio anymore.
She defends viciously. Yeah.
Yes, I do. That's so funny. But yeah, we're talking about renovating our condo if we can figure out what we'd like to do. And they want to shrink down. One of the ideas is to shrink down my bedroom area. And I think, no, I don't want to give up my space. I want my space. So, But I have a gal who does my shipping for me now, so that helps. Because of living in two different states, I can't really carry all my shipping, all my books with me. So I have a gal in the St. Louis, Missouri area who does my shipping for me. So that helps. I can send her orders and wherever I am, and yeah. And she can help me out. So she's been a lifesaver for me, really. So
trunk shows and shipping seem to be a big chunk. If you can get somebody to take that off your back, yeah, it really changes mm-hmm. the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Those can be a challenge.
And you can't put that off till the next day. It's got to be right now. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Fun stuff. So, yeah. Okay, so the new at the Nashville show, the new design, two designs you sent me, pictures of sunset then a Christmas one. Oh, that Christmas one. Oh,
thank you. And I have five. So it's okay. the Christmas quilts, which is the photograph that I sent you. It's kind of like the Quakers and Quilts. Only Christmas, and I had been having a lot of people ask me about doing something like that. So it was fun. It uses Weeks Dye Works, and then I put some little sparkle in it with Rainbow Gallery's Treasure Braid. So that was fun. And then I have Hidden Tulips, it's called, and it's another. I love flowers. I don't. It's another flower one, but the motifs, the reason I called it Hidden Tulips is because even inside some of the motifs, the way they go together, there's a tulip shape. So anyway, so that one was fun. Sunset, you've seen. And then I have one called Leeds House Sampler. And that one is done with Picture This Plus fabric and then Sulky Petites, their threads. And it's all kind of this blue color. And then the other one is Golden Rule, which uses Romy's Creations, her overdyed threads. And that was fun. I've never used her threads before. And that was fun to do. They were really nice to work with. So, and it's more of a medium-sized sampler. It's almost a small one compared to my other big ones. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. When I showed Margaret the Christmas one, she said, "Oh, I'll take one of those for next Christmas." Meaning, I'll stitch it and it'll get framed and be ready for my next Christmas. And I just looked at her like, "Yeah, that's probably not going to happen." And she says, "I realize that when I say that probably I could learn to stitch and stitch one myself." And I said, "Yeah." Yeah, you could. I'll show you.
Yeah.
But she won't do it.
Exactly.
She won't do it. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Well, maybe you might want to start her off on something a little smaller, but yes.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. Yeah. So, yeah, no, the sunrise and sunset, though, those are impressive. I love the colors.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Must
yeah,
have been
I was
fun putting
inspired
those
by
together.
the
Yeah.
yeah. I was inspired by the sunsets. The window that I here in Florida that I designed from. I don't see too many sunrises. I'm not an early riser, but I can guess what they look like. But I do see a lot of sunsets. So and you get that the we're at the white sand and the blue. Turquoise blue waters here in Destin, and I mean it's just amazing, and some of the sunsets are just breathtaking. So anyway, so I had to do it. I just had to. So
that's how that happens. You're just looking out the window. You're just looking out the window, collecting colors in your head and putting them together. Oh, nice.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
Nice.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. And yeah, in Stephanie's fabric, just I saw her fabric at a retail show, and I said I really have to use your fabric because it just had some really fun colors on, and picked out I don't know three or four pieces, and those two seemed to scream to me that they needed to be sunrise and sunset, so it just all kind of came together.
All these thread and fabric people that are over dyeing and they're really opening a lot of doors for you designers, aren't they?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, you can be so creative. I mean, compared to just straight DMC, which you know you can still do a lot with. Don't get me wrong, but because of the variations in the colors. It takes it into a whole new level, I think. I mean, it's very hard to photograph. That can make me want to have a bottle of wine in the morning, but but at the same time, I love working with overdyed threads and fabrics. They're fun.
Yeah.
They're just fun. Yeah.
There's so much to choose from, too. I can't even imagine how you guys sort through it and come up with something you want to use.
Oh, some days it's a challenge. Yeah. Yeah. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
It can be. Yeah. But it's, I mean, you know, they have a saying over in England that you're spoiled for choice. And sometimes that's right. I'm just spoiled with all the choices that I have to use those pieces of fabric and threads. And sometimes you just, when at the wholesale shows, I'll walk into a room where they have all of the threads. And I think usually those people can see me just kind of drooling and they say, just pick out whatever you want. And sometimes, you know, a design is born right there with just the color of the thread. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else, but I have to use that thread in some, you know, just like Christine, you were saying about the quilts. Well, the quilt fabric. I have to have that. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I have to have it. And that's the way I am about the threads, too, in the overdyed fabrics is I have to have that. I'll figure out later what I'm going to do with it, but I have to have it. So,
All right, we got to end this thing. This has been a blast, Karen.
All right,
Thank you.
It was fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was fun, you guys. I've never done this before, and I enjoyed it. It was good. So.
Well, good. Well, we did, too. Thanks so much, and thanks to everybody for listening. And Christine and I will be back on Wednesday.
Take care.
Very good. Take care.